It's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He is Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley. And we are live in the Iowa Caucus Red Eye Radio headquarters. Gary,
I'm morning. Telling you, there's just lots of excitement.
Now it is on to New Hampshire, Nevada, South Carolina, California.
That's how the election went, right there.
That's how the election sort of went.
Okay, go ahead. We had a little glitch there.
I'll play Bernie again. Here we go. All right. Take two. All right. Here.
Now it is on to New Hampshire, Nevada, South Carolina, California. And onward to victory. Thank you all very much.
I mean, what a great night.
Wait a minute.
Let's check from some of the other candidates here.
By all indications, we are going on to New Hampshire victorious.
Oh, wait a minute. That was Pete Buttigieg. It sounds like Bernie Sanders won. Well, did Bernie Sanders win? Did Buttigieg win? Who won this? Who won this thing? Let's check from Joe Biden.
I promise you, we're going to get this done, and God willing, we'll do it together. May God bless you all, and may God protect our troops. Thank you. On to New Hampshire.
Right, well, then, did Biden win? What's going on? Everybody is celebratory. I mean, Pete Buttigieg, in essence, said that he won. Oh, I'm sorry, boy, was it a surprise to wake up at 10 o'clock. I woke up at 10 o'clock and I went,
"What?
I have no idea what's going. I'm no idea here.
Nobody
here
knows.
Here we go. Let's grab my phone.
Yeah,
I grabbed my phone because I had said I walked out of here yesterday and said, I just think it'll be Biden. I think Iowa voters, Iowa Democrats will just say, okay, let's go for the safe pick. And I have no idea. And they have no idea at this moment because only one point. Well, they say it was, I don't understand. Did you see realclearpolitics.com? Oh, for those just tuning in, they have no idea who won because there's been some kind of
glitch, inconsistencies. You know what it is. You know what this is, right? This is my prediction that, or actually, it wasn't a prediction; it was a wish, tongue in cheek. But the way that this primary has been going, I said, you know what? It wouldn't surprise me if they all dropped in the polls. And now you have this, and it's like, yeah, nobody voted. Didn't Gary? Didn't I say it the other night? I did last week. Wouldn't it be funny if we got to Monday night, the Iowa caucuses, and then all of a sudden they turns out nobody won? Did I say it or did I say it?
Well, no. As of right now, nobody has won. I'm reading here. It says votes 1.93%. I don't know what it means. I'm looking here. It says second round because it shows fewer votes in the second round. I'm not sure what that means. They're only, let's put it this way, they're only at about 1.9% of the votes that have been tallied and verified, said the State Democratic Party. We found inconsistencies in the reporting of three sets of results. What are they? They using the Des Moines Register CNN polling people for this or what? We found inconsistencies in the reporting of three sets of results in addition to the tech systems being used to tabulate results. We are also using photos of results and a paper trail to validate that all the results match and ensure that we have confidence and accuracy in the numbers that we report, said Mandy McClure, the state party's communications director. This is from NBC News. This is simply a reporting issue. The app did not go down, and this is not a hack or an intrusion. The underlying data and paper trail is sound. We will simply take time to further report the results. The state party had earlier said It was carrying out quality control checks to make sure the numbers are accurate. The state party hosted a conference call with the campaigns sometime after 11 p.m. Eastern time, but sources confirm the party leaders hung up as campaign officials pressed for more information about the various reporting issues and when they would receive more data and results. The call became very heated, sources said, as the state party scrambled to go through three sets of numbers. Election workers struggled to use a new smartphone app created for caucus organizers to calculate and report results. The app is the issue, and the hotline is smoked, said Joe Galasso, a volunteer in charge of new registrations for one of the precincts. He had just gotten off the phone with the precinct chairman. They have not been able to report their results, even though they wrapped up more than an hour ago, and this goes back another hour, so that's at least 2 hours ago. So it's just a complete mess in Iowa, and these are the people that wish to run our economy and industry.
That's right.
Remember, they are the ones who want government to control. That's what the Green New Deal is.
That's it.
They wish to the government to control industry. They want the government. Bernie Sanders with the and by the way, we'll get to that too a little bit later on. The quote from Bernie Sanders from 76 that the government should run a ton of different industries out there. This fits to the whole thing of whether he's a communist or not.
Yeah.
And you know, this go back to Bernie Sanders that he's just disgusted that there's so many choices of deodorant in the store. If you remember that going back a couple of years, these are the people that really wish to run our economy, our industry, your life. You think?
Yeah.
TheHill.com saying the results are not expected till the morning.
Yeah, I saw another headline that said Tuesday at the earliest.
Well, did you see Nate Silver's tweet that by how the results are coming in at this point, if it continues at this pace, that we will have 100% of the precincts reporting in Iowa at 9:30 next Tuesday after the New Hampshire polls are closed.
Exactly. Nate, that's probably a little bit too fast on that prediction. I'm thinking Super Tuesday we might have the results.
We need, hold it. Let's get order in Iowa. Yeah.
Order.
I've got the gavel out. The Nadler gavel is out.
Man, this is worse than dangling chads. Seriously. You know, it doesn't really help the situation that half of those precincts reporting are managed by men named Vladimir.
Well, you know, the conspiracy theory is going around now. The Bernie Sanders campaign and Bernie Sanders supporters.
Yeah.
All right, here you are. You're just rigging this against Bernie.
Right.
By the way, though, but Sanders with 1 point, there's no indication there's no way to call anything on this.
No.
With 1.93% of the precincts reporting, Bernie with 1,925 votes or 25%, Warren 1,664 votes with 22%, Buttigieg with 19%, 1,400 votes, Klobuchar with 1,013 votes or 13%, and Joe Biden coming in at the moment with 1.93%. Am I making it sound dramatic? 1.93% of the precincts reporting Biden in 5th place.
You know,
so there we are. There we are at the moment.
All right.
And by the way, everything going smoothly for the Republicans. Donald Trump, I saw with 97% of the vote.
He expects to get up to 120%.
Yes. It is from all indications, it is the greatest ever caucus defeat.
Man, this is just so beautiful. It really is. Honestly,
I'm just,
the way that the Democrats and their primary have run things in the last few, you know, what they've done over the last few years and then into their primary, Is there any surprise that Iowa, kicks it off this way? Is anybody surprised? I mean, it just seems like they've bungled everything. They bungled Russian collusion. They bungled the whole Kavanaugh thing. They bungled impeachment. Of course they're going to bungle Iowa.
Well, they bungled 2016 when we find out that, Bernie Sanders supporters still furious about it today.
Right. Well, remember Van Jones, too.
Yeah, right.
He was rolling up his sleeves, a grassroots effort to go out and convince electors to not vote the way of their state. And it how did that end up?
Well,
it was a net gain for Trump.
I know. Nothing's working for them. We got a great show ahead. We'll continue to monitor the situation slowly.
Yeah, well, which means that on our Wednesday show, we'll talk about both the State of the Union and the 50% of election results that are in from Iowa. This is so stupid.
Well, right now it's 1.93%. We hope to report next hour 1.93.427% of the precincts are in.
I have real clear politics. I have 1.87%.
Yeah, well, that's the. Do you see it where it says votes and then it says second round, and so 1.87% is what I have in the second round. Does that mean they're going backwards?
I think so.
I don't know. I don't know what that means.
No, I don't know what that means either.
Yeah, because in the second round, yeah, there's fewer votes that have been tallied.
What they're saying is, and who knows where the glitch is, here's the problem that the Democrats have here. It really doesn't matter where the glitch is. I mean, they probably already know where the glitch is by now. But you know who's going to complain? Ultimately, a week or two when we learn the winner. The people who don't win. Every other campaign will challenge this. Depending on how close it comes out. If it's on, think about this. Biden and Bernie, what were they, 2 or 3 points spread on some polls in the last few days in Iowa?
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, but Sanders had a couple that were, as we know, were up there with.
Right. So if Biden wins, Bernie's people are going to be fuming. Democrats don't want Biden to win. Well, the party actually probably wants Biden to win Iowa. But the mess that it will create, the backlash from the Bernie supporters and the Bernie campaign, especially if it's close, there's going to be nothing but noise into New Hampshire.
The last pre-polls were Emerson and DFP, and then one came out after we were off the air last night that came from Sunday night. That it's FRA David Binder, the Democrat pollster, that had Buttigieg up +2. Buttigieg was +2, and then the other two, Sanders +7 and Sanders +7. So those were the last three polls that were done in Iowa. So we're going to have to stick to the polls because it looks like we're not getting the results. All right, coming up here on the show today, more on the results slowly trickling in. Mm. And we hope to have a winner called by the New Hampshire primary next week. Yeah. Impeachment closing arguments yesterday. Very quickly, you had said, will we be talking about impeachment on Friday? It almost disappeared yesterday, and they were giving closing arguments.
I know.
Except for Schiff showing he's completely insane. I mean, he's just insane. The thing that, well, if Trump doesn't get removed from office here, next thing he'll do is sell Alaska to the Russians. He's nuts.
He's a moron.
Seriously. We'll get to that. The sad news yesterday, Rush Limbaugh announcing that he has advanced lung cancer. We will talk about that here in a little bit. Bernie leads the field in private jet spending.
Yeah, did you see that?
Yeah.
Well, you know, do as I say, not as I do.
We figured that because you had brought that up when impeachment happened. You said they're going to be flying back and forth in jets to Iowa.
There's no way
there
is no way to get there except for that. And think about, too, you know, Bernie's still recovering from a heart attack. I know it's been months, but still, you're going to have to be as efficient as possible. And of course, that's going to require more private jet use.
Did he ask AOC if it was okay to take the plane instead of a train?
It's a solar private jet, we heard.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. State of the Union address later on today. Dershowitz strikes back, saying, I can't believe Democrats were saying I said this when I never said it. They just make stuff up as you go along.
Yeah, right.
So that and more on the way, plus your comments, your calls. It's going to be a great show. We'll have no new information for you on the Iowa primary in all likelihood.
Let's start an office pool. not on who will win, but how soon we'll get the results.
Hold it.
Huh?
Order. Okay.
All right.
We shall return. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE, if you'd like to get in. We will have somebody who was actually one of our listeners actually in Iowa and was at a caucus, and we'll get to him following the bottom of the hour. We just want to make sure we give him plenty of time to set the scene for us here, because he is saying that there's a lot of chaos and a lot of arguing, that it got, you know, quite heated, as NBC is reporting there. A lot of people not pleased at all. In case you're just tuning in right now, there really are no results from Iowa. There's been a glitch. There's been a number of reasons that have been given, everything from an app to that there were inconsistencies in the reporting of three sets of results, that this is simply a reporting issue, that it's not, that an app did not go down. But you have reports from other precinct managers that the app did go down, and they haven't been able to report. But what we know right now, it's a complete mess. Roughly 1.9% of the results are in, and it's not updating every couple of minutes like normally it would.
Right. Yeah. It's it is a mess. And as you mentioned, some are blaming the app. Some are saying it's not the app, it's the reporting. It looks like from, I've looked at about a half a dozen sources so far, and I'm looking at more, and we'll do so during the break, but it looks like everybody's pointing to the app. Now, here's the concern. If there is a new app, when there's new technology, and you're giving it to an entire group of people, especially in a situation like this, an entire statewide group of people to manage an election, at least caucuses, It can be using a new app can be very difficult. It can be in part user error, but you can tell when it's systematic. If everybody's saying the same thing, that the app's not responding, it's not doing this, you can bet they went through a boatload of training, by the way, on this app.
Well, it's interesting because after that came out, that's when the state Democratic Party representative came out and said, no, it is not the app. These are inconsistencies.
Right. Yeah.
In the reporting. What does that mean?
Here's your forecast.
A winter storm is tracking out of the Rockies, and by later this morning, we'll see the snow primarily isolated for Colorado, but there's another area of snow in the northeastern United States that'll also be part of this system. It's a very long frontal boundary with a few low pressure areas riding along. So there's ice, rain, and snow connected with this wide area of precip for the country. First, the areas of snow, mainly in Colorado today, and then also in upstate New York. The icing will be a problem in portions of central Oklahoma, central Kansas, and northern Missouri, then also in the Adirondacks of the eastern New York area. The rain, mainly a problem south of the Ohio Valley. Northern Georgia, Kentucky, Tennessee, Ohio, Indiana, with heavy rain and the possibility of thunderstorms in the Ark-La-Tex region. There's your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
We'll have more flexibility after the election. Red Eye Radio.
Yeah, whenever that is.
If you ever get the results. Yeah. 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Let's go to David in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, who was at a caucus last night. David, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Thanks so much for calling. We appreciate you waiting around. We wanted to make sure that we left plenty of time for you to sort of set the scene. So what did you witness?
Okay, I was at the Republican caucus, which was held in the church across the street from the high school where the Democrats were doing theirs. We took like 45 minutes to do our caucus, and everything was done in taking care. I step out of the church, I start walking to my car, and I could hear the shouting from across the street. So I thought, okay, let's just humor myself and go over there and see what's going on. And I could hear this one guy and this one girl yelling at each other, saying the new Green Deal or the Green New Deal. And they were arguing over the semantics as to which, you know, which order the words came in.
Because, oh, my gosh. Wow. Wow.
And that just lasted for like 6 minutes. And I was thinking, okay, either they're going to do a bloodletting to let everyone calm down, or I should get a case of beer, throw it in there, and let the rednecks really have it.
What do you hear? Do you hear that because you're right there on the scene, and the local news may have more than we have here. Is there still a discussion as to what the problem is, whether it is the app or what these reporting consistencies are?
Well, okay, here's the thing. The high school that they are at has a limited width of Wi-Fi, in there. And the area that they are in, you can't get any data unless you got like one phone service. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you don't have data, Wi-Fi is limited, and you got like 400 people trying to go off of Wi-Fi.
Look, can I ask you, because this is of interest, that what something that people don't know, because it really didn't get a lot of publicity, but of course the Republicans, had a caucus too, and the three major candidates, as we all know, Donald Trump, Bill Weld, and Joe Walsh. Was there any discussion in the caucus about any of the other candidates besides Trump? Was anybody pushing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We had one for Bill Weld, one vote for Bill Weld. We had three votes for Walsh, and we had 76 for Trump.
Okay. What was the discussion like from the Walsh people, or the Weld people? What was their selling point that Trump isn't the guy?
They didn't say anything bad about Trump. They didn't mention Trump. They said that this is what they wanted to do.
Oh, okay. Mm. Yeah, I just wonder what you would do, because this is, to most of America, what Iowa does is completely and totally foreign. So I know that we're just fascinated by the fact of the caucuses and when they go on like that, because it is something that is so unique.
Well, here's something that we do in Iowa, is that we have these plank forms. And what they are is that people get to write in what they want the next Republican or Democrat or whoever for the next, cycle of politics, the next House meeting, the next, Senate, things like that. And what it is that these things are all brought up to people like Charles Grassley and Amy Klobuchar and, people like that. Yeah. And this is the people saying, hey, we want you to discuss this in the next time you go to D.C. after the next break. And that was probably the argument that they were having was in the Democrat part, because they were trying to talk about the Green New Deal or the New Green Deal. And nobody could agree on even the wording.
Wow, that's it.
And like I said, either they're going to do a bloodletting to calm everyone down, or somebody just throws a case of beer in there and let the rednecks get drunk in a high school when it's hot with no Wi-Fi and no data.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it's
thank you, David. We appreciate it. Thank you.
I thought he would say, rubes. And
yeah, credulous boomer rubes.
Boomer rubes.
Yeah.
But just so you know, Donald Trump, 97.1%, with 95% reporting. Bill Weld, 1.3%. Joe Walsh, 1.1%. Donald Trump will get all 38 delegates. Other candidates, 0.5%.
I gotta point to the Russians here. Okay.
You know, the strange thing is I keep going back. Because it's what we do. I keep clicking back every 5 minutes to the election results.
Okay, yeah. And it's not going anywhere.
Well, I've been doing it now for over 2.5 hours.
I started around 10 o'clock, yeah.
And it's the exact same. I keep looking at him. It's like, okay, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. It's like, change!
Well, I mean, they have said they're going to work through the night. Because here's the thing. It's like back in the day when stores used to take cash, counting the till at the end of the night. You know, I worked in this small grocery store in high school, and the night manager, Steve, would be up there, and he was in this office, which is kind of on this elevated platform, basically, that overlooked the store in the front corner of the store. And he would be standing there and counting, and I would wait until he counted up till about 20 or 30, and then I'd ask him a stupid question because it would mess up his counting. The point is that they're going to have some consistency on – have a point, Harley. They're going to have some consistency on this issue. If they go, we'll just shove it back in the box and resume in the morning, you're going to have even more problems.
I'm sorry. I wasn't laughing at you.
Oh, good.
I was just checking out Twitter, and I'm sorry, just a very brief tweet here from Rich Lowry. After years of obsession with the Russians, the Democrats somehow managed to hack their own election.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great night for Biden. He is not yet finished fourth in the Iowa caucuses.
All right. Wow.
They're supposed, another one, they're supposed to use the same reporting app for the Nevada caucuses on February 22nd. Just different tweets.
I love it.
Ann Coulter, my first thought tonight is, hey, let's give them the nuclear weapons.
Exactly. Wow.
Oh.
I just, again, you know, after the whole Russiagate thing, Mueller, all of it, Mueller botching that testimony the way he did was the only way that could end. This mess of a primary season where it's been just all over the place, they are anything but gelled as a party. And by the way, the liberal media knows this. They've been commenting on it.
Oh, yeah.
They've said it in recent weeks, you know, how bad the stage looked. Who was it that said, Van Jones said it? Who else said it? Was it Chris Matthews?
You just reminded me of something. Chris Matthews, I don't know whether it was from today or not today, but I believe it was from yesterday.
Yeah.
Chris Matthews saying, there's nobody that can beat Trump.
There's nobody that can beat Trump.
And think about this. We're still a day away from the official impeachment vote.
Yeah.
You and I, you would ask the question, I believe, well, last Friday, and then again Monday, this is our narrative where we say, will we be talking about this next Friday? I was amazed that impeachment wasn't even being talked about except for Adam Schiff's insane statement, which we'll play coming up. I also got to find the Chris Matthews statement where he's like, look, nobody can beat Trump.
Right.
I'm like, what happened?
Right. I mean, exactly. I mean, this is the only way that this could kick off. This is just, it's just been a mess of a season. You know, it's not any one thing either. It's not like Biden is just having a gaffe here and there. Tonight, the audio cut you played, you heard him pause. I don't know if you still have that in front of you, but you heard Biden pause and on to New Hampshire, like someone had to tell him in his ear what was next. I mean, it has been that kind of primary for the Democrats. Well, season for the Democrats. It was bound to kick off this way. It's like a track meet, and all of a sudden the gun goes off, and they all just trip and fall on their face.
All right, I have the audio cut.
All right. Let's see if we can play this again.
Okay, here we go. All right.
Now it is on to New Hampshire.
There's Bernie.
Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
South Carolina. California. And onward to victory. Thank you all very much.
I'm sorry. I thought you said Sanders. You meant Biden. Yeah, I got Biden. The Biden cut. Here's the Biden cut. All right, here we go.
I promise you we're going to get this done. And God willing, we'll do it together. May God bless you all and may God protect our troops. Thank you. On to New Hampshire.
Where is it?
On to New Hampshire.
Yeah, New Hampshire. That's right. I mean, it really is. The other day on the campaign trail, when he said in a room full of people, he said, I'm going to have a strong vice president because that person is going to need to be president at any moment because I'm an old guy. The whole room laughed and he said, no, I'm serious. Okay. Remember the questions at the beginning, right before he announced, is he too old? He goes on NBC News, I think it was Today Show, and it was a sit-down interview with him. A lot of people are concerned about your age. No, I'm great. And it ended up with something about push-ups. And then, you know, he was sitting there going, no, I'm in great health. And he did that the other day. He tried to walk it back. Now everybody knows I get up and work out and do push-ups and blah, 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 blah. But you don't ever say that out loud as the leading candidate?
This is a question I have to ask. Is he the only person left in the United States doing push-ups?
Yeah, I think so, actually. I've never actually seen him do one.
I thought we had all advanced to the Chuck Norris Total Gym.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, Chuck Norris doesn't do push-ups. He pushes the earth down.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yes.
I'll have to do that next time I see my dad. My dad had no idea about it. And about 3 months ago when I was visiting him, I said, you ever heard the Chuck? They were watching Texas Ranger.
Yeah, Walker, Texas Ranger.
I was like, and every time, I forgot to do it this weekend. Every time I'll like throw 10 new ones at him, he got the biggest kick out of it. He had never heard them before. And he just went, just tremendous.
That's great. Yeah. We'll keep covering the nothingness from Iowa in a moment.
Yeah, and a whole bunch more. We got a ton of things to talk about. Yeah, we really do. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90-RED-EYE. Coming up following the top of the hour, I found the Chris Matthews cut, where he's not happy.
Yeah,
he's not happy with anybody, and he says Bernie Sanders will not be president of the United States.
Mm.
And it was on Morning Joe. Everybody's like looking at him.
It's true. He's not going to win.
Have you seen?
He could get the nomination. He's not going to beat Trump.
And the other, did you notice? And we probably played a few audio cuts when any legal expert would get on, whether it was CNN and MSNBC, about impeachment and say, "Look, here's what the founding fathers wanted. Look, the impeachment's bogus. This is bogus. That's bogus." You notice that nobody really argued with that?
They couldn't.
And as you and I said, the impeachment, and we see on so many issues out there, when you do any type of cross examination, their argument just falls apart. And even there, it's like everybody's sort of quiet and nobody's saying, Chris Matthews, you're absolutely wrong. Bernie Sanders will defeat Donald Trump. It's almost as if you get anybody to stand up and and cross-examine in any way. And look,
right.
Chris Matthews can be his own unique type of idiot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, sure.
At times. And by the way, we call ourselves idiots, so.
Yeah, right.
We're not picking out a name just for him. We didn't call him a credulous boomer rube. I think he's too old to be a boomer. No, maybe he is
a boomer. I think he's a boomer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's up to be under 75, right? So what's Chris?
Yeah.
70, 71, 72?
Is he that old? He looks pretty good for that old. He's holding up pretty well. I hope he doesn't have any tingling in his leg or anything. If he does, he should see a doctor
away. Those are the natural hormones.
Oh, that's right.
He only gets those. His natural political hormones.
Yeah, he only gets that when a Democrat wins. Sorry.
This hour's news is brought to you by Travel Centers of America, home of World Lens Coffee, the freshest roast on the road.
This is Red Eye Radio. On Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
This hour for Freightliner, run smart. Helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
Breaking news from Iowa. We got nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
I got nothing for you. No. We still don't know. And we probably won't. You know, very quickly here, one of the things is, I was thinking, because I've covered the Iowa caucuses before, all the reporters have morning flights out.
Oh, that's right.
Everybody has.
No, oh, I didn't think about that.
I remember when I covered them, I was doing my local show.
Yeah.
At WBAP, our flagship station here in Dallas-Fort Worth. I was doing a local show at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did I fly in the next day, get up real early in the morning and had a very early morning flight back to Dallas, I was back on the air in the early afternoon.
Yeah.
I had to go back. So, I mean, everybody has, you know, morning flights out. And then all the national media have flights to immediately fly out to New Hampshire. That's where they're all going.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Because they, you know, they know, okay, we've got to, you know, set the table now for New Hampshire. Once it's over, and normally, I'm trying to think, normally by 11 o'clock, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Maybe not the local reporters for the local newscast, but everybody shuts it down and they're out. And you may have some that do early morning cut-ins the next day, but almost everybody's gone by noon on Tuesday. Boy, there's got to be a lot of rearranging of schedules now.
Well, It's weird that you say that, because I'm looking at the live updates from the New York Times. The Democratic candidates are headed to New Hampshire. I mean, they got to go.
Yeah.
You know, they can't wait on the results. They got to go like now. So in the morning. But here's the thing. You're looking to jump off of the momentum. But you can only do that if you're a winner.
Yeah. And that's why Buttigieg was... We're going to come out of this victorious. Okay, we shall see. We'll get back to that here in just a couple of moments, but we wanted to take a moment here just to note the terrible news from yesterday, Rush Limbaugh announcing that he has advanced lung cancer.
Yeah.
And I tweeted it out, but I saw you had commented.
Mm-hmm.
I was stunned. I didn't comment. I didn't know what to say.
I watched the video from, you know, because there's video along with his show, and I watched the video, I don't know, probably a dozen times, just that portion of it. It was a few minutes long, and I probably watched it a dozen times, and each time just in shock, because I guess nobody knew. And he talked about in that segment about it, that he was having some issues January 12th around his birthday, and that he's got a team of doctors working with him now. And he used the words advanced lung cancer. And so it is a very serious thing. Now, he said he's going to be off until Thursday at the earliest. He's hoping to be back on Thursday. But our thoughts and prayers are with him, his family, his extended family of, just a legion of fans around the world, Snerdly and the entire staff that becomes your family. They go through a lot of things with you. When you work with people, day after day, you learn very personal things about them, of course, as we all do. But when you're in a place for a long time, as Snerdly and some of his staff have been, you know things about them, and he knows things about his staff that nobody else knows. Mm-hmm. I mean, you become family. And I know it's a great, great hardship. And I can't imagine what it's going to be like going through the treatment, but our thoughts and prayers are with him and for a full and speedy recovery.
Rush is somebody that I've never met before, but he was so huge. His syndicated show started 31 years ago. I got into talk radio 30 and a half years ago.
Right.
When I was a station manager, when his show first came out, I was managing an AM station. And I had not yet started talk radio, but we were moving in that direction.
Right.
We were moving from music, as many AM stations were, to talk radio. And I heard Rush, and I just said, got to get him on.
Yeah.
And the owner of the station wouldn't carry him. And I said, you got to take him. You got to take him, because if we don't, somebody else will. And somebody else in the market did take him. But what people forget is a lot of the stations only took him for 1 hour.
Right. Yeah,
I always think of, when I think of Rush, I think of the scene in Moneyball where you have, Brad Pitt with the Red Sox owner talking about, coming there and he looks at him, the owner of the Red Sox in the movie looks at him and says, look, you're the first one through. The first one through always gets bloodied. You have to understand that when you go back to that time, conservative talk radio, to the level that he brought it, was brand new. You had talk radio before. You had local talk show hosts. You can go all the way back to, if you go back to the 60s, Joe Pine, who was, quite acidic in how he did it, quite confrontational. The late Alan Berg, who was murdered, who was worked in Denver by white nationalists. He was more liberal, but again, very in your face. Remember the movie Talk Radio when that came out,
right?
But it wasn't necessarily from the conservative point of view, and to the level that it became because of Rush. Everyone in the business owe something to Rush Limbaugh. Liberal talk show hosts that have succeeded owe a great deal of gratitude, in my humble opinion, to Rush. When what I think of a lot of people when they listen to talk radio, if you don't know the inside of it, there used to be, I don't know, because our politics have gotten so divisive now, don't know whether it exists today. I don't get to hear or listen to a lot of talk radio or hang out with talk radio hosts like I used to 20 years ago. But it's more than just politics. The business of talk radio, it is understanding how to do it. And there were no charts back then. It didn't exist. And when I became a talk show host, and I was forced to do it, I didn't want to be a talk show host. It was like throwing somebody in shark-filled water who didn't know how to swim. I had no idea where to go. And there were a few talk show hosts, none of them as popular as Rush, that influenced me. Some were liberal. Not that their viewpoints didn't. It was the style of how they organized their thoughts that did. And I've talked about this before. My career would not be my career unless there were three different people that ran radio stations that were liberal that hired me. It was different back, you know, it was different back then. There was nothing to look at. And Rush, I remember playing basketball because I became a talk show host, and I remember playing basketball maybe twice a week. And I'd be on the court shooting alone, and I'd bring the radio with me just to listen to Rush. This goes back probably to, it would be in 89, and he became a talk show host at the end of 88, sort of, I believe it was close to the end of 88. And I was just listening to how he formatted it. When you first, in my situation, I didn't want to be a talk show host. So it was like somebody forcing you to become an artist. Okay, here's a piece of canvas, start painting. I don't know what to do.
Right.
And how to organize your thoughts. It's completely different. Do you remember back in the 90s when Mario Cuomo, when he became a weekend talk show host?
Yeah, yeah.
And there was all this, finally somebody to challenge Rush. Well, I think most people would look at a Mario Cuomo and say, incredible, great speaker, powerful speaker, bombed on talk radio big time.
It's different than broadcasting.
Completely different. TV, everything is completely different.
Writing. I mean,
writing.
There are people that are great, great, great writers, but broadcasting is very different. I mean, they're great politicians, and they can sit and do great interviews and as you mentioned, give great speeches, but broadcasting is a different animal. Talk radio is a different animal.
It's a completely different animal than when I got into talk radio. I already had... probably about 6 years of music radio experience. That didn't help at all.
Right.
I could have been a baker.
Yeah.
And it didn't help. A completely different animal. Yeah. And understanding and figuring out how to organize your thoughts and do it in a radio environment surrounded by the commercials and everything else that you have to do to make it all come together and do it every single day. Now, I started out doing just 1 hour, and I thought it was impossible. Then it was two, then it was three, then it was four, now it's five. And I owe him such a... I owe him, and he didn't do it, you know, for me, but I still... He blazed the trail. He got bloodied first. Everything... Right. By the time I became talk radio host, I knew there were people that were going to dislike me. I thought about this yesterday when the left started going crazy at Rush, you know, and throwing out all, oh, he deserves this and everything else. And a lot of people completely and totally offended by it. Understand that Rush isn't.
No.
He's not offended by it. It's an expectation when you're in this business. And so, but he was the first one really... To the level that he took it, that got bloodied the most, and he blazed the trail for everyone in talk radio today. And this isn't even a political statement. It's a radio industry statement is what I'm making here. Everybody. And I'm talking about talk show hosts. I'm talking about salespeople. I'm talking about management of radio clusters throughout the country. The success over the last 30 years of talk radio, Rush Limbaugh was the person who blazed the trail. Even if you became a liberal talk show host, he blazed the trail for you too. And that's why, to me, it was just so... I didn't know what to say. I tweeted it out, and I couldn't organize my thoughts at that moment. And I started laughing. I said, Rush, laughed a little bit to myself, thinking... Well, here's the guy who helped me learn how to organize my thoughts in the context of what you're giving, the time frame that you're giving in talk radio. and I can't organize my thoughts right now.
One of the things that that the left and the media often get wrong about Rush is his humor. It's very dry, tongue in cheek.
Oh yeah.
It is you know, when he boasts, there were so many. There's so, still, but back in the day, I mean, in the late 90s and into the early 2000s, there were so many people that I came across because I was in the same industry. I would hear them talk about what a blowhard he is and blah blah blah, and most of that was based on his, you know, the fact that he would boast about something that, you know, mm-hmm. and if you and I've never met him, but if you know the show, if you know who he is as a person, you know it's tongue in cheek.
Yeah,
it's like us calling ourselves idiots overnights.
Right.
It goes back to something years ago, but the point is that he takes the ideas seriously. He takes the direction of the nation seriously, as we all do in this business. But it's not just talk radio. He paved the way mm-hmm. for the conversations, the exchange of ideas that social media conducts every single day. And a lot of people organize their thoughts in the same way, especially conservatives, that post on social media. Not all of them do that, but many of them do. And that exchange of ideas started in a big, big way because of Rush Limbaugh. Our thoughts and prayers are with him.
Yeah, we wish him the very best and all of his staff and his family, and we hope that he, you know, can recover from this and be back on the air extremely soon.
I'm going to say this. I don't care if I get in trouble for it. Go kick cancer's ass, yeah. Rush.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Tips from J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated on driver wellness. 15-minute rule. Starting a workout routine is never easy. It's especially tough as an over-the-road trucker. But if you're committed to improving your health, getting exercise is an important first step. And when you're taking those first steps, think modestly. Instead of training for a marathon or becoming the next Olympic powerlifter, focus on smaller goals. Set a goal to work out 15 minutes at a time. Keep your activities simple, like doing push-ups or sit-ups, or try doing planks to see how long you can hold one. Not sure where to start with a plan? The internet is a resource of workouts designed for people looking to start a program. What you find can put you on track toward improved health. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Just looking at this from the Huffington Post. This is the buzzy Democratic firm that botched the Iowa caucuses. Shadow, a Democratic digital firm, created the app that was supposed to deliver quicker caucus results. The tech arm of Acronym, a Democratic digital nonprofit group that has rapidly expanded in recent years, was responsible for building the Iowa caucus app that contributed to delays in reporting Monday night's results in the first vote in the party's presidential race. Multiple Democratic sources, including one of the presidential campaigns, confirmed the app's creator. State campaign finance records indicate that the Iowa Democratic Party paid Shadow, a tech company owned by Acronym, more than $60,000 for website development over two installments in November and December of last year. A Democratic source with knowledge of the process said those payments were for the app that caucus site leaders were supposed to use to upload the results at their locales. The Iowa Democratic Party has refused to reveal details about the app, including the company behind it and what security measures were being taken to safeguard the results, arguing that it made the technology more vulnerable to hackers. The app was supposed to make reporting on the results easier and quicker, but on Monday, numerous Democrats in Iowa reported major problems in attempting to download the application and upload results, with many saying that they resorted to calling results into state party headquarters in Des Moines. As of 12:30 a.m. Tuesday morning, the party had not released any results from the caucuses.
So they have all of the hard copies of the votes. This is about transmitting those results. And now it looks like it'll go back to the old-fashioned hand count, I'm guessing. I'm guessing they'll scrap this application, this app.
Well, it's just interesting that the state Democratic Party has said the app wasn't the problem.
Yeah, I know.
That it was inconsistency.
But everybody around the state at all those precincts
exactly,
say it is the problem. Yeah.
They're not afraid to tussle with the deep state. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And I'm Gary McNamara, along with Eric Harley, 866-90-RED-EYE.
This hour brought to you by Freightliner. Run smart, helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
All right, I've got some audio here from Chris Matthews on... We'll probably be playing Chris Matthews a lot between now and November.
I guess.
Chris is back.
Yeah.
He was on Morning Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to play it, but he's not pleased. He did say that about a week and a half ago, right?
Yeah.
He did say that once.
Yeah, he did.
That was after the debate, saying nobody here can beat Trump. Here he is again on that same narrative.
What are my thoughts? I'm not happy. I'm not happy with this field. I think they got to find a candidate for president that can beat Trump.
And you don't think anybody in this field
I'm looking. I'm still looking.
Still looking.
What's the problem?
Obvious problems. They're all problems. Bernie Sanders is not going to be president of the United States.
Okay.
I went back to the 72 race. I was a young volunteer for the DNC. I was working for a senator from Utah at the time. I've got to tell you, it feels a lot like it. A lot of giddiness, a lot of excitement, a thrill about this guy.
You're saying a lot like McGovern?
Well, exactly, because he was very exciting. He excited the party completely, blew away a really good candidate like Muskie, a really good guy. He blew him right out of the water because he had some issues. Now, analytically, I think a couple things have happened. One is Warren was riding high. I thought she was going to sweep through everything. I should first two easily and just keep going. She was the one candidate I thought could do that. What happened? She got a lot of scrutiny. You don't want a lot of scrutiny, and she got a lot of it. Does this stuff add up? The Medicare for All, the free college, all that stuff got killed. And guess who's going to get it now? Bernie's going to get it now. Bernie's going to ride high, and he's finally going to get scrutiny about his whole life, his ideology, his whole life, who did he root for all his life. Who is this guy ideologically? It's not just the nice, good stuff like health care. Why does he say the stuff he does about Maduro and people like that? Why does he say Denmark one week and then somebody else? I mean, people got to figure out who the guy is.
Yeah.
I think I know because I've dealt with these guys most of my adult life. They're usually the guys at the card tables at an air war rally. They'll be there, some guy, old guy with some old literature from this socialist party or that, trying to sell it, trying to latch on to the anti-war movement. There's always guys like that. And they're usually, you know, as Howard Fine once said, non-negotiable demands, you know, yelling up at the administration building during the anti-war movement. I know them, but I think the country's going to get to know them. I think we got a problem. We'll see. But, you know, nobody's going to say it tonight. They're all going to be cheering. Good old Bernie. You know, I think he's going to win big tonight. Real big.
The best thing was just watching.
What?
I wish everybody could have just seen Eric's head just sort of spinning. I thought
I'm
maybe
just looking around the room going, I'm sorry. What? what the hell is he saying? You talk about rambling.
I think picking up the bits and pieces, we saw when Maduro, he's talking about the things he has said about Venezuela. And then talking about Denmark, I think he's talking about socialism.
Yeah, right.
His comments on socialism. And I think what he's trying to say is he's probably more in agreement with Trump on Bernie Sanders, Trump saying, look, when I think of Bernie, I think of a communist. It's sort of, he's not saying the same thing, but if you're going back to the old anti-war, old, I don't know what he's really trying to say there.
I don't know. I don't know.
I think what he's saying is he's too socialist slash communist for the American people, and when you find out what he's about, you're not going to like it.
Look, it's not going to, because it's not going to win the independents. You know, the whole burn thing is from the left. And it really isn't socialism. As you said, Gary, you coined the phrase, it's takeyism.
Takeyism, yes.
They don't want socialism.
Yeah, right. Americans don't want socialism.
No.
They want takeyism.
They want freebies.
Yeah, they don't want gimme.
They don't want to pay for it.
Well, no, actually.
It's gimmeism, not takeyism.
They want
right.
gimmeism.
Gimmeism, they want not takeyism.
Takeyism. Yes. But they don't like the takeyism part of it.
Right. They don't want right. to have their money taken to pay for it.
We're gimmeous in this country,
right.
is what we are.
And by the way, Bernie, it was a few months ago, Americans would be happy to pay for it. You're just delusional, man. Really. You're just delusional if you think that's the case. No. They want freebies. Free means free. Of course, we all know it's not actually free.
You know, we had talked about Bernie yesterday because the president had said, I think he's a communist, and the media immediately reacted, and we said, okay, let's go through the definition of socialism. Let's go through the definition of communism. Mm. Let's see where communism in our public narrative, you know, where it's evolved to today and make the case based on the definitions of Marx and even the evolved, you know, definition that exists today. Could Bernie fit that definition? Yeah. If you support the Green New Deal, you can, or the New Green Deal, as our Republican caucus goer from Iowa said, he heard them arguing from the Democrat caucuses. They couldn't figure out whether it was the Green New Deal or the New Green Deal. But, you know, we had said, yeah, you can make the case, because to get to the Green New Deal, you'd have to become a communist state. You would need authoritarian rule to take away. Well, they actually wouldn't have to take away private property. They would pick up the scraps of what's left because investors would leave and companies would go bankrupt if the socialists got in and say, okay, you must produce these things and not these things. The government's going to dictate not just the means of production, but what you produce.
Right.
You know, we've always talked, Bernie Sanders talking about the fact of how offended he is that there's just too many choices of deodorants. And therefore, that's wasted workers. That's wasted industrial output making 33 different. And that's what he had said. Was it 33? Was that the number he used?
I think so.
33, different makes of deodorants. That's wasteful in. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, man, talk about a central bureaucrat here at this point. Not only do we wish to control the means of production, but what you produce. And you must produce what we tell you what to produce. And as we said before, UNN told the automobile company, sorry, you need to look, the world's going to be destroyed in 10 to 12 years, depending on which Democrat you talk to. Therefore, everybody starts making electric cars tomorrow. It's not going to happen. But if you did that, you can only do that with an authoritarian communist government.
Right.
Couldn't get there any other way. And as we know, communist government is communism is when you take away private property completely, when private property, the ultimate a communist society would be no private property at all, which would be close to what you probably see in North Korea. Now, it's a dictatorial communist state and not a one-party state, but the fact is that's when you have the communist mindset is when you start thinking that way. And it was good to see yesterday on social media a lot of statements Bernie Sanders have said in the past. Bernie in 76, I believe that in the long run, major industries in this state and nation should be publicly owned and controlled by the workers themselves, which are not controlled by the workers in a communist state, because that's the communist philosophy right there. The worker controls it.
Yeah.
No, they don't.
Right. No.
The worker doesn't control it.
No.
The state controls it. That's the big lie. So, again, when you break it down, the statements that he's made, Chris Matthews even recognizes it.
You know, and that's it. I think the sad part. Van Jones after the last debate. There's nobody on that stage that can beat Trump. He didn't see anything on that stage that night that could beat Trump.
And now he doesn't believe anyone, and that includes Bloomberg.
Now listen to, or I guess think about everything that's been said. Where is the, what would we call it? Maybe the, not their platform, because they're nowhere near that. But just give me something that the party has come together on, the Democrats have come together on, that doesn't involve hating Trump. Hating Trump's a given. Tell me what they're actually promoting that would improve this country. Tell me what they're promoting that doesn't include punishing.
Here's an interesting thing, because Matthew said it. Medicare for all, free college.
Doesn't add up.
Did they jump the shark on it where they got to the point where independents said, stop it.
Yep.
We can't afford to do all of this.
Yes.
You're making it seem like there's a money tree and we can offer it to everybody and everything can be free and college can be free and healthcare can be free. Somebody has to pay the bill. Since, you know, you and I talked about the impeachment trial and we said, look, even though the majority of Americans can't tell you the three branches of government, one thing we do know is how a court system works, right?
Yep.
Even though most people don't know the intricacies of a government, they know what it is to work and balance a budget. They understand that nothing, every American understands that nothing really is free. I'll put it out this way. Every working American knows, which is the majority of adult Americans that exist out there. And so when you try to make it this nirvana that everything can be given to you for free, have they gone too far that, hey, for the first couple of weeks it sounds good, but 6 months into it, when everybody is promoting and trying to top the other one on free, 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 free. We talk about Norm MacDonald, you know, having fun, the former SNL.
Supporting Andrew Yang.
Yes, it's fake,
right?
You know, but he's supporting Andrew. Hey, I could use $1,000.
I'm a big fan of $1,000. Right. I always have been.
Right, that's fallen completely flat. Nobody believes that's going to happen.
No. Here's the thing. Back in the day, they knew where to go. By the way, had you told me during the whole Republican tax reform? By the way, I'm just did my taxes. I want to thank the Republicans from the bottom of my heart. Jerks. But during that whole back and forth with Gary and I are paying more. During that whole back and forth, stupid jerks. Marco Rubio put the rube in Rubio.
So it's not Jennifer Rubin, as we said last week.
Well, okay. Her too, but he was first. But if had you told me during that whole thing that Marco Rubio and Mike Lee would be pushing for a fully refundable, a larger, much larger, fully refundable child tax credit, you would have told me that. Let's go back to, I don't know, 2008. You would have said that. I would have said, man, you need to call a cab because you're drunk. And that's exactly what happened. You know, all these things, the gimmies are still, the people want the gimmies, but they also realize there is no way in the world, you guys tried free health care, there's no way in the world you're going to get Medicare for all. We may get to a single payer system one time or at some time in our lifetime, maybe. But now you're piling on $1,000 a month per adult and free college and everything else. I mean, you're just promising the world. Had you slowed your roll? Hey, how about this? This tax credit for this or a greater tax credit for that? Maybe. But here's the problem with that. That's not enough either, because I got to wait till April 15th to get what you're going to give me? No.
This is the problem when you start giving people things. You promise them too much, they know it's fake.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE.
This hour for Freightliner, run smart, helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
Coming up following the top of the hour, I think we got another call from Iowa.
All right,
just good. As to what's going on, so we'll get to that, plus more of your calls and comments on everything that we've been talking about, and we will get to the complete total insanity of Adam Schiff yesterday. As, you know, the senators were getting up and speaking and some of the final arguments given by some of the House managers. And it was just bizarre. When I saw it, it was funny because I think it was Britt Hume. I had the same reaction of him. I thought it was fake.
Right.
I really did. I thought this is the Babylon Bee, the Onion.
Right.
This can't be true. He really didn't say this.
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself, they just don't care. I mean, they just don't care how big of an exaggeration they make, how big of a lie they make, whether their analogies are just completely, totally insane. And I did write on Twitter, I just said, I listened to it and went, he's completely insane. And that's what I put on Twitter yesterday. I said, I dare anybody argue with me on it.
You know, it really is when you hear it, and we'll go over it here in just a bit.
Yes.
It's desperation. It is, it makes you wonder if he's got it all together, frankly.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE, redeyeradioshow.com, where we stream live, or get our app, put it on your phone, and listen whenever you want.
And thank you for doing that.
Yes. Okay, in response to the one of the big social media debates yesterday on the Kansas City Chiefs and Kansas City, whether it's in Kansas or Missouri, I only have one thing to say.
Okay.
You need to know where my loyalties lie.
All right.
I am an Orchard Park Bills fan. I am not a New Jersey Giants or an Arlington Cowboys fan.
And okay.
That's about all I have to say.
All right.
On that whole thing.
Good. Yeah.
That's so dumb yesterday.
Well, the Arlington Rangers.
The Arlington Rangers, yes.
Baseball team. Yeah.
Whenever there's a national broadcast
of
especially the Cowboys.
Yeah. We're here in Dallas.
Yeah,
No, you're not.
It drives people from Arlington, Texas, up a wall.
We're going to riot. I know Arlington did all this bidding and everything else, and then all the broadcasts here in Dallas. Oh, man. He didn't say Arlington again.
And it's not even in Dallas County.
You know what?
That's the thing. It's in Tarrant County.
I know. And here's the thing, too. When it was in, Irving Stadium.
Yes.
The old Cowboy Stadium, they would say Irving Stadium, and you would see it, you know, Irving, Texas, because it had the open roof and the whole thing. You'd see the flyover, and here we are at Irving Stadium, Irving, Texas, Dallas Cowboys. Why don't they just move to Lubbock? Here we are in Dallas. No, you're in Lubbock. You're in Lubbock, man.
Well, the way the population's expanding, we may soon be a suburb of Lubbock.
Well, I think to our friends up north, and I don't mean Canada, our friends in Oklahoma, make some room. I think we're going to take some of that territory there around the casinos. Because, it's so crazy, so much building. You know, we have these, there's a tremendous growth, which is great in the state. Ah, wait a minute. Is it? I'll get to that in a second. But it's expanding northward. There's nowhere else to go. And it is just crazy, the congestion in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. They've expanded every highway, all the toll roads, but every morning they're just jam-packed. I mean, traffic is crazy every morning. But there was something that the Dallas Morning News and other newspapers and media outlets have focused on. What happens when you have job growth in an area, when corporations relocate to your part of that, well, your neighborhood in our part of the state or our state in general? Toyota came here. Toyota North America brought all of their other operations in North America to our neighborhood.
And you want to know how big it is? I hadn't been up that way in about 5 years, and this is a couple of years I went driving down, you know, on the highway right by there, and I went, what's this city?
Yeah, it's a huge complex.
This city didn't exist. It's as big as some downtowns of medium market cities in the United States.
The campus has, I don't remember how many buildings, it's six or eight huge buildings.
Like
on one campus.
Where did the city come from?
Yeah, exactly. And so, but what happens? Of course, you've got to attract the talent to come here, and a lot of people leaving California to come to Texas starts to change the voter rolls a bit. Now, what's interesting is that major metro areas in states, red and blue, major metro areas are getting bluer. Whether the state is red or not, the major metro areas,
urban areas,
yes. The metro areas, yes, the urban areas.
Well, metro includes suburbs.
Well, if you look at the suburbs right now, and that's quite my point, Dallas County is blue and has suburbs that are getting much bluer. And so you look at those, and this is happening with those major cities, because what happens inevitably is that it would be the urban, back in the day, it was the urban areas. And it starts to spread because people relocate, and in our case, they're moving north, and even outside of Dallas County. Keep in mind, Beto won, actually, against Ted Cruz in Tarrant County. You know, I mean, it was a few thousand votes, but that's a huge deal.
And Tarrant County is considered a conservative county.
Yeah, I mean, it's Fort Worth, it's Cowtown, it's, you know, the West Side has always been heavily conservative. The point being is, and then there was this poll that was taken, and you and I talked about this, I know, off the air. I don't know how much time we spent on the air. I think we spent some time on
it. Yeah, we did.
About how people who come here from blue states often aren't, they side with, or would rather vote for, in that case, was it Ted Cruz?
Yes, that they found out that it was the people that actually moved here from California. More of their votes went for Ted Cruz than O'Rourke.
Right.
And that it was people from other places. Here's my question, though.
Mm-hmm.
What will blue and red be? What's blue and red right now compared to 2016?
Oh,
think
yeah.
about that.
No, that's a great point.
Because everything is relative, and it relates to where the party has gone.
Mm-hmm.
The party isn't even the party. The Democrat Party is not the party that it even was in 2016.
No.
It's not even close to being the party that it was in 2012 or even 2008, as we've talked about, you know, before. Look at some of Obama's speeches on immigration.
Yeah. Yeah.
He couldn't say that today.
No.
Without being ostracized. The reason that Obama has been marginalized by the Democrat Party is because the things that he said, you said it yesterday, He couldn't say today he's grappling over gray marriage.
Gray marriage. Elderly's getting married.
Elderly. We're against gray
that.
Marriage.
Don't marriage is between a young man and a young woman.
How dare you?
We oppose gray marriage. Let's take it to the high court.
You old people.
Yeah.
Just die. Don't get married.
Exactly. You're just
how
doing
harsh.
It. You're just doing it for the benefits. We all know that.
How harsh these talk show hosts are. Do you hear them going after old people?
Yeah.
But as you said yesterday, he couldn't come out today and say, I'm grappling on gay marriage.
No,
as he,
no.
Neither could Hillary.
No.
And on immigration, where they were just 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would be you had Democrats just 10 years ago and major Democrats, even Obama, that could sound like Trump on illegal immigration.
Right. It's funny. The other day, our governor, Greg Abbott, governor of Texas, he's very active on social media, and he put up a video, and also there was a sign attached to it, you know, welcome to the great state of Texas. And I think there was an article or something about how many Californians were moving to Texas. And he said, just a reminder that, you know, that you're moving here because of lower taxes. And, you know, we have all the great benefits of low taxes, no income tax for the state, and low property taxes and the whole thing. And it was just a very friendly kind of thing. But I thought about it, and you're right. It depended on why the person was relocating. There were a lot of people that moved from other states that came from, all over the U.S. When these corporations, changed or moved their headquarters and their offices to North Texas. And many of them are blue voters and probably always will be. But many of them were leaving their state because they realized the policies weren't going to change, that they didn't have the leverage. And so there's been this migration for other reasons, and California is a prime example. It's disheartening for me, not because I don't want Californians here, but because I can't imagine having to pick up and relocate because it has become, the cost of government has become so oppressive that you can't stay in your home state. That must be disheartening. In a way that I can't comprehend. I've never had that dynamic because I've lived in Texas all my life.
Do you remember a couple of years ago when Phil Mickelson, the golfer, said that he had to move out of California?
Mm-hmm.
But that, remember that time he wanted to get part ownership of the San Diego Padres, I believe.
Yeah.
And he ended up not doing it.
Right.
But he was talking about the fact that, you know, the taxes have gotten to the point where it's just no longer feasible. And, of course, he was just ostracized like crazy about it. And you and I actually did the figuring about what he earns. And the 13% income tax or mm-hmm. whatever that he would face there. And we figured that over a 5 to 10 year period, you're talking anywhere between $50 and $100 million, which is a difference of whether he can get, you know, partial, you know, ownership in a professional sports league team.
Right.
But I don't think he said anything about it, but apparently he has bought property in Jupiter, Florida. And when their last son is done with high school, I think it's a son.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're moving to Florida, but they're doing it. He's not announcing it. They're doing it quietly.
Yeah, right.
he realized I can't speak on it because remember how he was ostracized for that?
Yeah.
And people were like, you've made enough money. It's like, excuse me, you're talking that this is, and you and I figured it out. What would he possibly, and we went through and looked at his endorsements and, you know, what he makes per year on endorsements and, mm-hmm. and what he makes, you know, what he was averaging on, you know, the golf course, but the endorsements are where they make their money.
Yeah.
Something like Mickelson.
Yeah.
He is, you know, he's a sponsor's dream. And it was like, no, I sort of got to get out of here.
Yeah.
So, right. I need to bring up to you did you see the meme last week?
Mm.
It was on social media and it was like, This was after Governor Abbott was talking about that. And by the way, you see his ratings are through the roof.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
His ratings are just killer. So, it may, people are thinking, well, the Democrats can take it. And we did talk quickly about that Houston congressional race last week that they were looking at as this is the proof. Democrats were saying that we can take back the state of Texas, and they didn't win that district.
Right.
But if you look at, for example, Governor Abbott, his numbers are through the roof.
Yeah.
If you look at it, you say, well, where's this whole thing of the blue wave in Texas? You don't see it happening with the way that people look at the state and how it is, run. But the meme I loved the most was the one that said, hey, everybody who wants to move to Texas, here's a courtesy for you. We're giving you an entire map of our particular state. And there was this outline of a state, and it had Dallas and everything in it, but the outline of the state was Oklahoma.
Nah, that's funny. I love it. Yeah. You know, and it is, you know, the thing is that it's also disheartening, not because people have to make that horrible choice. I have a friend who works in the media out in California, and he told me, and he's older. I don't know if he's going to retire in the next couple of years, but he is retirement age. He's still working, probably because it's so expensive. And I asked him one time, and he told me, it's just horribly expensive, and you really have to watch every penny, and so much of that is the cost of government. But you also look at not just the idea of someone having to get up and leave their home. California is a beautiful state. I've been there a number of times, vacationed there.
Mm-hmm.
Went whitewater rafting on the American River and have been, I mean, it's just gorgeous. It's just a San Diego. Oh, my gosh. The Bay Area, San Francisco.
Yeah, wow.
Just beautiful.
Spend time up there. Just
And you know, think about how productive the state could be. They're productive now, but think about the wealth and how it would lift in part the rest of the country if all these blue states that have these high costs of government had a lower cost of government, and that wealth expansion would be massive. It would lift all the other states because they're capable. They have the resources. They have the people. But the cost of government is holding them back. And I don't know that will ever change in our lifetime.
The cost and the regulation from government.
Yes, yes, right.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric. I'm Gary. And I'm just over here just dying.
Yeah.
You and I talked about this earlier, that Ben Shapiro, our colleague at Westwood One, is just in major trolling mode today. I mean, it's just on the whole, the Iowa caucuses. And by the way, we still have nothing. There's no update. We have no idea really who's in the lead. You know, they said no official verified results are out. Then why does the Wall Street Journal, Fox, and everybody else have 1.93%? Can I ask that very quickly? I don't know why. I just threw that out there.
Yeah, I don't know.
But Shapiro just trolling big time. Here's one of his tweets. Trump had to have made a pact with Satan. That's the only explanation for the longest string of luck in the history of humanity. I mean, you can't four-dimensional chess the Democrats into somehow blowing up their own caucuses. Democrats, don't worry. Robert Mueller will get to the bottom of this.
I love it.
Let me get a few more. Shapiro, have we considered that by moving Kansas City into Kansas, Trump completely threw off the magnetic fields in Iowa, thereby destroying the caucuses? The Democrats said if Trump wasn't impeached, he would steal the election. It's begun in Iowa. I mean, he's just trolling big time.
Well, I mean,
this is one of my favorites. Yeah. The Iowa caucuses didn't kill themselves.
Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious.
There was one more, I think, that I wanted to get to here because it's just. Okay. Let's see. He had one on deodorant for Bernie, but it was really unrelated to that. Oh, there it is. The one you told me earlier. Don't think of it as the Democratic Party stealing the election from Bernie. Think of it as vote redistribution. Ben Shapiro in troll mode on the Iowa caucuses yesterday. But that's the one thing. These are the people that wish to run. And we heard people said health care. Forget health care. These are the people that want to run the entire economy and business.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look. You really have to look at this primary season so far, leading up to the big kickoff, Gary. It's like the Super Bowl started and the team that's kicking off, the entire team is running and they're about to kick off, but the entire team trips over and falls. I mean, it's,
don't say it.
It's just embarrassing. Okay. Well, the Bills would have to get to the Super Bowl to do that. So it's not going to be the Bills. I wouldn't say the Bills.
So would the Cowboys have to.
Yeah.
The Arlington Cowboys.
The Arlington Cowboys of 30 years ago. Here's your forecast.
A winter storm is tracking out of the Rockies, and by later this morning, we'll see the snow primarily isolated for Colorado, but there's another area of snow in the northeastern United States that'll also be part of this system. It's a very long frontal boundary with a few low-pressure areas riding along. So there's ice, rain, and snow connected with this wide area of precip for the country. First, the areas of snow, mainly in Colorado today, and then also in upstate New York. The icing will be a problem in portions of central Oklahoma, central Kansas, and northern Missouri, then also in the Adirondacks of the eastern New York area. The rain, mainly a problem south of the Ohio Valley. Northern Georgia, Kentucky, Tennessee, Ohio, Indiana, with heavy rain and the possibility of thunderstorms in the Ark-La-Tex region. There's your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Your forecast is brought to you by the TruckSmart mobile app from Travel Centers of America. Download TruckSmart today to get what you need when you need it.
Tired and confused. Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Closing arguments in the impeachment trial. Senators speaking, House managers speaking. I want to play this from Adam Schiff. Are you ready?
All right.
You said it. You have to wonder whether his...
If he's just losing his mind.
Yeah, I had to write. My comment on this was he's completely insane on Twitter. And I didn't do that to be over the top hyperbole at all. You ready? Here we go.
All right.
Would not make it. At least he wouldn't in 1998. But this has become the president's defense. And yet, this defense proved indefensible. If abuse of power is not impeachable, even though it is clear the founders considered the highest of all high crimes and misdemeanors, but if it were not impeachable, then a whole range of utterly unacceptable conduct in a president would now be beyond reach. Trump could offer Alaska to the Russians in exchange for support in the next election, or decide to move to Mar-a-Lago permanently and let Jared Kushner run the country, delegating to him the decision whether to go to war.
I don't know what to say. He's completely insane. Alan Dershowitz came out yesterday and with an op-ed piece. Apparently, he's had enough in the Wall Street Journal. Democrats are lying about my argument, which they have. We said it immediately. Yes. We went, they're lying.
They are.
What did I say to warrant? Well, let me first, I'm going to read more of this here because I think it's important to do that. Democrats tried to put me on trial in the Senate last week, denouncing what they called the Dershowitz Doctrine. Representative Adam Schiff claimed I advocated a lawless variation of Richard Nixon's view that when a president does it, that means it is not illegal. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said that under my doctrine, Nixon didn't commit any impeachable offense, never mind his numerous crimes and my explicit statement that I supported Nixon's impeachment. Pundits went further. Joe Lockhart, former presidential secretary to President Clinton, said, "This is what you hear from Stalin, from Hitler, from all the authoritarian people who rationalized, in some cases, genocide." End of quote. What did I say to warrant such demonization? I was asked whether it matters if there was a quid pro quo. I answered that would depend on if the quo were in some way unlawful, if a politician's motive was corrupt. For example, if he sought a kickback, that would be an impeachable crime. But if his entirely lawful act had mixed motives, including re-election, that would not turn a lawful act into a crime or an impeachable offense. I observe that all politicians act out of mixed motivations. They seek to further the public interest with an eye towards the ballot box. A desire to be reelected is not necessarily a corrupt motive. I also said that if a politician sought anything, a quo that was in some way illegal, it would make a quid pro quo unlawful. The main thrust of my hour-long opening presentation was that the president could be impeached if he committed crimes or criminal-like behavior, regardless of whether his claim motive was in the public interest. I made this self-evident, pointing in response to arguments by House impeachment managers that mixed motives could turn innocent conduct into crime and that a motive to help one's reelection could be corrupt. I never suggested that if a politician believed that his reelection was in the public interest, that it would excuse criminal or impeachable conduct. And they have just gone off the deep end. That's why, like I said, it's completely insane right now. What Schiff said, what Joe Lockhart said. Think about what Lockhart said. This is what you hear from Stalin, from Hitler, from all the authoritarian people who rationalized, in some cases, genocide. I mean, they are just completely insane. This is how desperate they are. Look, I knew it was going to get to a particular point, but complete delusion and complete fantasy and making comparisons or analogies that are completely and totally, absolutely insane and not relevant at all to any allegation or charges against the president.
He's just going to leave it to Jared Kushner to run the country.
Right.
He's going to go to Mar-a-Lago and sit back and vacation.
Yeah, Trump's going to let somebody else run things.
Well, first of all, you've got to be an idiot to believe Trump is going to go on vacation and not work every day of his life.
Right.
You haven't been paying attention for the last 40-plus years, you Nimrod.
Well, that's the whole thing when they talked about the fact that Trump doesn't care about corruption. Remember, we got that call. I didn't know that the talking points were out already when we got that call. Trump doesn't really care about corruption at all. What are you talking about? You haven't been paying attention the last 40 years. I mean, that's why I still, every single day, they raise my level of perverted awe. I'm like, I can't believe they said this. I can't believe they said this. This is more evidence that Democrats believe that the people that vote for them are completely ignorant, completely stupid, totally devoid of any type of common sense or critical thinking whatsoever, and they think that way because they are.
Yes. I mean, what this is the equivalent of the opening to the hearings on impeachment, exactly what he did then, where he just made stuff up and then went back and tried to say it was a parody. I mean, seriously, you need to go have your head checked.
And And what they do is, and the media knows it, Dershowitz says one thing and they say, you said the opposite. Now, we've dealt with that in talk radio when people try to do that to us. We don't let them go. We don't let them get very far on it.
Right.
They don't try as much anymore. And that's why at times people will get upset if somebody calls the show and says one sentence and we stop them. Because we're not going to let somebody come and tell five or six lies before we stop them in the conversation. If somebody calls up and accuses us of doing something that we did not do, we stop them right at that point so we can address it. That offends some people out there.
Yes.
We say tough. We believe that we do the right thing when we do that. If you don't like it, go do your own show.
Great.
It's that simple. But we will not allow somebody to get on our radio show and state something that we've never stated or state the opposite of what we actually believe after we've just made an argument. But Democrats, exactly. That's what they're doing here. Again, it's not just when you think about it. We've never got it to this extent as Trump has gotten it.
No.
And I think, Dershowitz is getting a great, great lesson. Look, he's a liberal. He's getting a lesson that, look, they will destroy you if you go against them, even if you're telling the truth. They will pervert what you have said. If you say something, they'll say you said the opposite. Think about what Dershowitz said. Politicians have mixed something that's common sense. Everybody out there, every Democrat right now listening knows this is the truth. Every single politician has mixed motives. Yep. You saw it with Obama.
Yep.
Right?
Of course.
Obama told the former president of Russia, well, I'll have more flexibility after the election. Not going to do that now. What was he saying? If we come to this agreement right now, I might not get elected because people in the United States would believe I'm working against their best interest. So I'll have more flexibility because I don't have to be held accountable to anybody after the election because I'm a lame duck after that. So I'm going to do I'm going to do after the election, what I believe I can't do or say now, because Democrats and people that have supported me before might not vote for me because they might believe I'm working against the United States and their best interests. Nobody said that was impeachable.
Right.
Nobody.
No.
Nobody said that was impeachable at that point.
No.
And what Dershowitz is saying is all politicians have mixed motives. They all sit there and say, okay, I want to push this, and they believe by pushing it, they will get elected. If that's the case, Andrew Yang has committed bribery, yes. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because he said, elect me, you get $1,000
right.
Every month.
Right.
He's trying to bribe the electorate. He should be, he needs, Andrew Yang needs to go to prison for that.
Well, if he goes to prison, Bernie has to go to prison for life. What they say, it was...
Hold it. In a gulag.
In a gulag. Was it 60 trillion? And I think that was, I don't know if it was the Post or CNN, but it was a liberal outlet that came in and said, you know, he's promising, you know, this, and he's already up to 32 trillion. You add in that he wants to pay you a living wage or whatever it was that he wants to add on to it. And they said, look, our total conservatively is 60 trillion over 10 years. That's 6 trillion. And then they spelled out how much spending we do right now. 6 trillion a year added on to what we already spend.
We can't do that.
That's a fantasy.
But when you have, a concept that everybody understands, every politician has mixed motives. I'm going to do this. And I think it'll help America, and I will help me get elected. Who doesn't do that?
Right.
And that's what Dershowitz said. And the Democrats turned that around and said, you're saying that Nixon shouldn't have been impeached when he specifically said he agreed with Nixon's impeachment. And that any type of criminal activity would be allowed.
Yeah, right.
Whatsoever. Right. And it completely the opposite of what Dershowitz said. By the way, I saw somebody who I know works for the airlines, and I saw them in the airport the other day. And they said, wow, because and we started talking about it. And he goes, so is this totally bogus or what? I said, that's what you think? He goes, yeah, it's totally bogus. Except for Dershowitz, he said. I thought Dershowitz was off the mark. And I said, where? And he thought that Dershowitz was saying, because of what he heard in the mainstream media, that, well, he was saying justify that you could do criminal activity. I said, no, he wasn't. Here's what he said specifically. And he goes, oh, well, that's okay. And I went, I know.
Right.
I said, you got to stop paying attention to the mainstream media. And he laughed. He said, you're right. But That's what they're trying to do. They know if they throw those things out there that there will be some people, and this guy, and I don't even know the politics of this guy, even though he knows I'm a talk show host. I've known him for years, used to play basketball with him, and you know, now he works at one of the airports, and I see him probably 6 or 7 times a year when I'm flying through.
Yeah.
And he just is like, wow, since Trump's been elected, this is just nuts. But when I talked to him last time, he said, yeah, I don't think Trump's that bad at all. And then he said, yeah, I think he's getting a raw deal here. But Dershowitz was wrong. So even if you're somebody who is anti-impeachment and you've learned and you've grown and said, look, Trump isn't that bad, you still can be tainted by the absolute lies that come out from the Democrats and then the media enabling them by not telling you the truth as to what Dershowitz actually said.
Right. But that's the way it has to go. I mean, remember the transcript. The transcript. They edited the transcript.
Yeah.
Well, yep. Adam Schiff went totally off the transcript and made some kind of Hollywood movie out of it. And next thing you know, and they're getting away with it. They keep doing it. They edit, they reform it, and then they put it out there as the truth. We don't predict what's going to happen, but things are looking very bad for the Democrats November 3rd.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. The winner in Iowa, because he says he is.
By all indications, we are going on to New Hampshire victorious.
Pete Buttigieg, and nothing backs that statement up because no official verified results are in.
They're not even close.
I was reading just now that indications are now that Democrats are trying to say they may not be able to start getting out results till later Tuesday.
Right. Right.
Wow. So in case you're just waking up right now, there is no winner in Iowa, even though Buttigieg is claiming that all indications, nobody knows. Marianne Williamson, the former presidential candidate, said, did he just declare himself a winner?
It's funny.
With no results in?
Right.
There are zero results. There's been a glitch. You've got a controversy, whether it was, I don't know, accuracy problems or an app problem, but no results are in. Verified results are in.
Here's what's funny. 538.com. By the way, 538 was doing their live updates like almost 2 hours ago. I said, well, we're wrapping it up for the night. We'll have staff on call, so if something comes in, we'll let you know. But they're going home. And here's one of the articles from over the weekend. 89 different scenarios for what things could look like after Iowa. 89 different scenarios.
And none of them are this.
None of them included this.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.